In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In some ways, the passage about the Good Shepherd that I've just read to you is incomplete. They've chosen to give you 10 verses of the tenth chapter, but there's more to it. And in those extra verses, beyond the 10th verse, as it were, we find Jesus saying to his disciples that the Good Shepherd is one who lays down his life for the sheep, one who does not abandon them, one who shares their predicament with them, and if necessary, dies with them, rather than abandon them. Now this, in many ways, seems to me to be a picture of our relations with our Creator. That's hardly surprising, because I suppose that's what it's intended to be. And that's particularly so when it comes to what must seem to many people to be the very fraught question of prayer. What exactly is prayer for? What does it do? And in a sense, how do you do it? Now, a lot of people think that prayer is about asking for things. Especially if nobody else has been able to give them to you, as a last resort, you might turn towards God, and God just might, give them to you. But by and large, he's not noted for doing so. People have terrible illnesses, people lose their people they love the most, people's worlds collapse, their houses are burnt down, and they discover that they forgot to send in the premium for the insurance, all sorts of things like this. And God doesn't seem to make it better. Even though we might ask God to do it, it doesn't seem to happen. Now, I'm not denying, of course, that there are answers to prayer that seem to go beyond the natural. But by and large, normally, we don't expect God to fix a leg if we break it, let alone to replace it if we have it amputated. We do not expect God to do all sorts of things just because we pray about them. And it would seem very odd. I know that there are various Christian groups that think that this tends to happen, but I have yet to see any real convincing evidence of various tele-evangelists raising really dead people from the dead. When I see that on my television or somewhere else, then I will believe, like Thomas. But until I see it, I really won't believe. I keep hearing about it. I read about it in rather fundamentalist books, which I have looked at in the past in my misspent youth, but I've never actually come across any accredited examples of people being raised from the dead as a matter of course in response to believing prayer. So what is prayer for? Is it then useless? We often, well, we don't often, but we occasionally hear people say, well, look, we pray for the Queen and the royal family all the time, and look at them. I suppose you could only say, well, it would be so much worse if we didn't. But I'm not going to say that. Not just out of loyalty and a sense of respect for those better than myself and set over me and so on, but also because I think they've got the wrong end of the stick in talking like that. What God will do for us is be with us. Now, you might not think that's very much, because you actually might see Christianity in terms of magic, which is what I think people think religion is most of the time. They see it as a means of making their lives more comfortable or safer. In my last parish in the northwest of England, it was the custom to believe that unless you had your child baptized, this child would be unlucky. Now you can see what's going wrong there. We're talking here about magic and not about Christianity. And all too often people feel disappointed if the magic doesn't work. But the real magic is this, that God calls you into unity and union, conscious union, with himself. And let's just remember who he is. God is the source of all love, joy, happiness, bliss, beauty, and everything that's worth having. And those who are united to him are filled with these qualities. So you can see that not many people are united to him for much of the time. But nevertheless, it is what is promised to us. If not in this world, at least in the world beyond the grave. We are designed for union with God. And in fact, in St. John's Gospel, the Lord will say that they may be one with us as we are one with one another, and so on. The purpose of human life is union with God. Not just in this world, but most especially in the world to come. That's why we were born. That's what we were designed for. And so prayer is, as Mother Julian says, it is prayer that unites the soul to God. That's what it's for. That's its principal purpose. The principal purpose of prayer is that it should unite us with God, just as he has, as it were, united himself with us. He is the one who shares our lot. He is the good shepherd who doesn't run away when the wolf comes. He is the good shepherd who throws himself before the wolf without anything to defend himself with. He is the one who has become a helpless human being like us and died upon a cross. He will do anything to share his life with us, to share his joy, his beauty, his bliss, and his eternity with us. And that is the purpose of our life. And nothing is allowed to stand in its way. And everything can be for good so long as it ministers to that. So if it's sickness or sadness or sorrow or bereavement or your house burns down or whatever it is, if it draws you closer to God, then it is fundamentally good. That is the purpose of your life, to be one with God. And anything that pulls you away from God, something like the fact that you've got on terribly well in the world and you really don't need God anymore, that's bad. It may look good, but it's bad. So when we consider the Good Shepherd, which I've always thought to be one of the it's put down by trendy persons in the 60s and subsequently, it really should be the good car mechanic or something of that sort. But no, the Good Shepherd will do, thanks. There are enough sheep and goats around for us to know what it means, especially goats. Goats are the people who would go on about good car mechanics anyway, so they should know. We are the sheep of the Lord, and he is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And the purpose of that is that he might share his life with us in this world and in the world to come. And so we shouldn't look upon religion as a form of magic. That's not what it's for. It's not there to make your life easy. In fact, in many ways, your cross, whatever that might happen to be, is a great gift from God. It's the means by which suffering can draw you closer to your own real self and to God who lives in the depths of your real self. You'll notice that the Lord has words of criticism really only for people who are fake. Only for people who are pretending that they are what they are not. Because you can't have a relationship with somebody who is pretending to be what he or she is not. They have to be true to themselves. They have to know themselves. And in some ways, suffering and loss are the only ways in which people can learn those lessons. And so, although it looks terrible to us, suffering and loss and all of those things can be an essential part of God's good will and good plan for us. God is the Good Shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. And his purpose in doing so is so much greater than we can imagine that we ought to be able to recognize, or at least try to recognize, that if God isn't sort of the great grandmother in the sky who gives sweeties to the children all the time when they ask for it, can you imagine it? If God always did what you prayed for example, if you said, "Dear God, the people next door have got a new car and we haven't, please make sure they have a smash," can you imagine? It won't do, will it? You can't necessarily ask for there are all sorts of things that are not appropriate to ask for that may seem frightfully good, but down the track may be quite harmful. And even if they're not, it's not necessarily the case that you should always be given what you want whenever you want it. And you know that. You know that. So don't think that there is no purpose to prayer if God is not giving you what you want as and when you want it. God wants to give you the thing that you in your heart of hearts want most of all, and that is an eternal relationship with him, union with him in joy and bliss and love through all eternity. And that really is something worth facing the wolf for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.